Yeah.
Oh, Evan muted himself. Oh no, what do we do? But yeah, so.
How about we don't be dicks?
Yeah,
Yet. Give me about
yet.
a minute and a half.
Yeah, that's about right. It's about how long it would take for the dicks to become erect. I don't know. But hello and welcome to the Else Nerds Show, the show on the Else Nerds Network, soon to be on Galactic Netcasts. I did mention today, by the way, about us being in beta, and we'll quit being in beta once they move over. So hey, who knows? But I'm Gregor Sprague, and joining me as always is Corey Scott. Corey, how you doing?
I am mulling over the crushing inevitability of death. So I'm fine. How are you?
I'm probably in about the same boat as you, but more physically and less emotionally than,
Yeah.
because I haven't had like an sympathies and all the commiserations and whatnot to you, because I had to let Dante go.
Oh, no, he's still here.
Oh, is he? Okay. Oh,
Yes.
so you're weighing out the options or whatever.
No, right now he seems normal. I'm talking to my ass about a lot of this stuff. Right now, Cat is still Cat. There's
Okay.
just concerns. We and everything expires, and you look at things and you can see the expiration date on it. You buy milk and you look at it and you think, oh, I've got all this time until the milk spoils. And then there's certainly the part where, yeah, the milk has been in the fridge for like 4 months. It's cheese now. You don't even feel bad about it anymore. It's just the Jesus Christ, why didn't we drink the goddamn milk when we had the chance? But then there is that point of the expiration date. And the expiration date is kind of this looming pessimism of your enjoyment of the milk. It's like, oh, well, the milk says that it's hitting expiration date tomorrow. I either have to drink up all the milk now, or tomorrow I have to decide if I really buy into this expiration date thing, or if I say I'm going to push it past a couple of days. But in that period of that 1 week or so, you were just so, do I drink it? Do I not drink it? Can I consume this without feeling sick or dying or whatever? And when it comes to people, it's sort of the same thing. It's like there's the whole young portion of the life where you think, oh, everything's great and it's okay, and you have no idea that, you might just spill the milk. And then there's the later years where you think, wow, I can't believe that, this has been here this long and I still get to enjoy this person when it seems like they probably could have gone a long time ago. That's a dick thing to say, but I told you, a minute and a half. And then there's the point where you start looking at someone and you start thinking about they're going to be gone soon. And you can focus on that and it can tear you up inside and make you feel miserable so that you don't really get to enjoy the time that you have left with them. Or you can drink the goddamn milk.
Yeah.
And so what I'm trying to do this week is figure out how to drink the milk. Even though I am slightly lactose intolerant.
Yeah. No, but yeah, and so all that to be saying is like I get where you're going at with the emotional thing of Dante's health and all that stuff. And I recently had to go through that with my grandma, and she had a greyhound that was a rescue, and it was just sudden. Like, we just noticed, okay, she wasn't walking really, excuse me, really anywhere and all this. And so we took her to the vet, and they're like, well, you can either pay like $1,000, or some obscene amount of money that grandma didn't have, or put her down. And grandma's like, well, she's lived a good long life, she's raced and she's been here, so it's her time and all that stuff. And that was hard. This is coming from a dude who didn't cry at his own great grandpa's funeral, and I'm admitting that right now full well, but that was also because I felt like I had to man up and show support for my mom who was crying and all this stuff. I about freaking lost it when my grandma's dog had to go and all this stuff. I was still trying to like man up and not cry and all this stuff. But yeah, I was about ready to start like sobbing, like just like if I was wearing mascara, just start raccooning down my face.
Yeah, I mean, I had a bit of a breakdown over the weekend. Mm-hmm. First trying to do the brave face thing because Erin was already having a hard time with it, and then as soon as she walked out of the house, I had my just the same reaction, the exact same reaction. Yeah. I just started falling apart, and it's hit me a couple of times since then. But it's also right now he's around. He seems pretty much normal, Dante. And it's the inevitability of an 18-year-old cat, which was already an inevitability, but I keep hoping somehow we'll develop superpowers and, or at the very least, he'll outlive me. That was always the rule. But in any regard, my biggest loss before in life was my grandmother, and I wasn't even able to be there in the couple of years before she passed away because I moved to California. Mm-hmm. And I felt very devastated by losing her because she was essentially like one of my parents. She helped raise me as much as my mom or my dad got to because I lived with her for years. And just that sudden shock of like, how does that happen? And that hadn't even occurred to me at that point. It wasn't like, oh, grandma's going to be gone tomorrow, but somehow it happened. And it's one of those things being the like the giant first real loss. It was really hard to get past that. I don't know that I'm even still past it now.
Yeah.
And I've lost other people. I've lost other family and stuff and people that I love. I've even had pets die before, but Dante's been with me for 18 years. You know, he's been with me for over a third of my life. He's been with me the entire time I've been with my wife. So he's been with me when nobody was with me. He was my dude. So it's rough. And mm-hmm. when someone gives you that news, you don't know what to do. You just, it is a shock. It is a punch to the gut. But until the time when he's just ready to not be here anymore, we go on.
Yeah. No, yeah, and I mentioned it before. I was saying, like, I know I'm in similar, mine's more physical than emotional right now. That's because I'm starting to go to the chiropractor to be healthier, you know, get my back right and all that stuff. Because, like you know, being a dumb kid, you know, you have some falls and all that stuff, and that does sort of tend to mess up your spine. And also the half season of football that I did twice probably didn't help. But, oh, yeah, one season or whatever. But, woke up today went to work today and I'm like, ooh, my back is really, really sore. And I had it adjusted yesterday. So I'm like, oh, sweet. This is going to be fun. And so I look at it sort of like a Benjamin Button thing. Like I was comfortable before, but it was like, you know, the pain was being used to it. Now while my spine's getting all adjusted and stuff, it's like, all right, now you're going to go back to when your back was all tight. And then it's like, and you're going to go back to here, and then finally, boom, you're a baby or whatever, you know, or something more manageable sort of deal. But, yeah, so I have the other pillow right there, that other pillow behind my back right now. I'm doing its thing. But enough personal chitty chat. We have some news to talk about. We haven't done news, I think, in 2016, if I remember correctly. But the first bit of news, and I don't care what the Guardian says at the bottom about the projections for New Hampshire, but Top Gear's got a new presenter going with Chris Evans, the radio personality, and that's Matt LeBlanc, Joey from Friends.
Being a friend, yeah.
Yeah, Joey from Friends is going to be a co-host, at least for this next season. Now the contract is only for a year, and I was surprised to see that because I think Chris Evans' contract is a 3-year contract. But the interesting thing doesn't stop there in the fact that, oh my gosh, an American's gonna host Top Gear, the good Top Gear, even not the crappy History Channel version. He's already in episodes, which they can work around because it's filmed in London. It's filmed in England. but he's also appearing in and producing a CBS pilot, I'm Not Your Friend. So we have this thing here of, if the pilot takes off and he extends his contract to be on Top Gear for another season, of either Matt LeBlanc is going to be really, really busy in that they're all recording at the same time, or Matt LeBlanc is going to be really, really busy in that he's going from episodes to I'm Not Your Friend to Top Gear back to I'm Not Your Friend and all that. Yeah, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, one, great that he's getting this kind of action recognition, because Matt LeBlanc, you can say what you want to about Friends now, with it being as old as it is and being what was one of the biggest sitcoms of all time, but now everyone's like, oh, Friends wasn't that great, no, those guys, you know, where'd they all go and everything, and that's a bunch of shit. I still love Friends. I told you, I watch and rewatch all the episodes of Friends all the goddamn time, just because they're always on, and I enjoy them. But poor Matt LeBlanc was the one guy who said, when Friends ended, oh yeah, you know, I'd like to keep going with this. I'd like to stick with this character and make something else happen with it. And that show was not good. And... yeah. You know, deservedly, it got canceled really fast. Had good people on it. He was a good person. So the other people who were on it were pretty good. But it just didn't work. And that's a hard thing to recover from. I mean, even Courtney Cox has had multiple shows that she's gone through with middling to lower success. Until she had Cougar Town, she didn't have anything that really lasted past two seasons. But... you know, it's one of those things. Lisa Kudrow has had multiple things pop up on cable and run through. And these are all really talented and beloved actors. Jennifer Aniston. I don't know why Jennifer Aniston is still, to this day, Hollywood's it girl for the amount of films that she's done that have been, at best, kind of, like, mildly well-received.
Mm-hmm.
But she's good. It's just they're kind of shitty movies. But LeBlanc doing all these things at once, I don't think that's surprising.
Yeah.
You know, because if a Ryan Seacrest can go and work like 90 hours a week and still have time to be a douchebag, then Matt LeBlanc can film a couple of shows that are usually shorter seasons that are probably filmed in such a sequence that they don't take up a lot of time.
Yeah,
and then...
it will be a challenge though, with how Top Gear is filmed, because it is an extensive amount of time. I'm honestly surprised. Let me see. It premieres in 3 months. This show, this new series of Top Gear, they have two hosts. They need at least one more to try to recapture that dynamic that they had with Hammond, Clarkson, and May.
But that's if that's what they want to do, you know. And sometimes it's easier to try something that is very different.
Yeah. As well, and that's what they're sort of doing, is instead of going two, the rumor is they might go four. But I'm saying that they need at least three, because of the fact that one of the things that they've always done is the trip, like, across the country, or, you know, it's been the whole focus of an episode or sometimes two. Like, you know, you get like the India special or the Burma special, where they're doing this one thing, and or even in the smaller films where they're doing these challenges, and you have the inevitable drag race or the handling course or, you know, whatever it is that they're doing, and you have the one doing it while the other two are trash talking.
Well, then I think really... the third person obviously has to be Jerry Seinfeld.
Well, right now what the rumor is that motoring journalist Chris Harris and German driver Sabine Schmidt are also expected to be announced as part of the lineup any time now. And they're also former racing driver Eddie Jordan has also been asked to join the show. I don't see all five of them or all the other three coming in unless one of them is going to be the Stig. And they never announce, like, oh, hey, the Stig is racing driver Eddie Jordan. They never announce that. It's just he's coming in, he's being the Stig, he goes away. Sort of deal. But no, I'm super excited for this news just because of the fact that I'm a huge Top Gear fan, and Matt LeBlanc does do, when he was on there, he does do really well. It sounds like two or three interviews he's done, being on there four episodes, he's held his own with Jeremy Clarkson, and that's a pretty big thing in my book. So that's that. The other news story that we have here is one that I was expecting to happen, but wasn't quite expecting the channel that it ended up at. And that's DC Superhero Girls is to debut on Boomerang with a merchandise line launching at Target. Now, we talked about DC Superhero Girls and that it was this online thing where it was reimagining the, I think, almost all the female characters in DC Comics at all the same age in like high school, going on these little adventures and learning how to be better superheroes. The big lineup was Wonder Woman, Batgirl, Poison Ivy, Katana, Harley Quinn, Supergirl, and Bumblebee. And then they had some shorts that they released through the DC channel. And this honestly surprises me that it's coming to Boomerang. But the cool part is because Boomerang, I think, is a satellite exclusive channel.
Yeah, I don't have it.
Yeah. Like, I know my sister had it, but they went to Comcast because sister's hubby couldn't watch the basketball game. So he was like, screw it, we're going to Comcast. But the cool thing is that the digital animated shorts will also be featured on Cartoon Network's CN app. So there is that way
for someone like me who might want to see this, but is not going to switch to Dish or whatever to actually get to see it, which is good.
Yeah. And it's cool because this is something that honestly Cartoon Network wouldn't have had to have done if they just kept Young Justice. Sorry. Opening up old wounds there that apparently never closed to some people on the internet.
And also Firefly should come back.
Yeah. And also,
suck it, Dave. I mean, no, this is a different thing though. I mean, Young Justice was beloved by boys and girls and was a gender mixed show easily, but it wasn't necessarily, this looks like it skews a little bit younger than Young Justice did.
It does, because I've seen a couple of the little short video things, which is what I thought it was just going to be at all. And yeah, it skews late, like that tween demographic that, like, you know, 10, 11, 12, you know, maybe even 13 or 14 year old is where it skews. But that's perfectly fine because it's smart in the way that it does things. It gives you these hints at who people are without being like I'll give you Batgirl's the perfect example for this, actually, because in the first one that they showed, it was Wonder Woman coming to the school and you don't meet Batgirl. You meet the school's IT support girl, Barbara Gordon. Now, if this was a really dumbed down, I don't want to say dumbed down, but a really watered down, we have to hit everyone over the head with the obvious, there would have been like some little shadow that could have been clever or very much, or just even the, she turns and goes, I gotta go be Batgirl or something like that, you know, some stupid thing like that. But they never did that. They're just, oh, it's Barbara Gordon. You're like, hey, that's Batgirl. And, you know, you'll probably see her later on in the episode or whatever as Batgirl, and it's cool.
Maybe she ran right from that episode of this show over to Bad Blood, the Justice League cartoon that you were just talking about.
Yeah. And then also, we can go jump back to this, but quick mention that the Flash is crossing over into Supergirl. I talked and explained this more on this past week's episode of Sci-Fi Geeks Club with Carrie Sims. So check that out over on Galactic Netcasts. I believe it's gncast.com/geeks or geek. So yeah, check that out there. But anyways, more over here because I don't know what else do you got to add to this story with the DC Supergirl Girls?
What you were talking about with Young Justice. One of the big reasons why Young Justice got canceled was because some asshats over in the, I don't know if it was marketing department or up from them, decided that Young Justice was had too many girls interested in it, and not enough boys for some reason. Like, it wasn't that boys weren't interested in it, it's that there were also a lot of girls that were interested in it, and they didn't know how to market shit for them, so they were like, well, we should get Young Justice, because too many girls like it, oops! And that was a bunch of bullshit. I think we even ranted about that on the show once. So this is saying, oh, remember those female human things that we couldn't figure out what to do with before? Now we had to make a whole new goddamn thing to hopefully erase our utter fuck up. And no, you didn't. But this is good too. It's okay to do this also. But just remember, you had an audience that was a different audience than this, but also had some of the same audience as this already. And you could have had both. You could have had more. It seems really short-sighted that you kick that thing to the side, not even having a plan to do this other thing, I'm sure, because nobody at DC seems that smart. But
no, and it's and just the time period, the time span in between. It's been like, I want to say 5 years or so since Young Justice ended.
People are still begging for it. I mean, they just started releasing it on Netflix streaming, I believe.
It's been on Netflix.
And people are like, please, please, third season, just come on, guys.
Well, I think who is the creator is like, said it best, is like, hey, if you all are watching Young Justice over and over, giving Netflix the numbers, then Netflix might be able to strike a deal. Or Netflix might to go, hey, can we make more Young Justice? Are you guys willing to make more Young Justice?
Yeah, but we are at a point now where Guggenheim is having characters pulled out of his shows and randomly killed off for no reason, because it might cause confusion with the movies, which the entire time have been pitched as, no, it's okay to have the movies and the TV show because they're two different universes, mm-hmm. okay? It's just like the New 52,
except
it's not a big cock in your face. But now it's like, no, we should not bring back Deathstroke to Arrow ever. We should start killing off all the Suicide Squad characters and get them off the show because it might confuse people that they are going to be in this film and are a little different because the film might be a little bit more rapey or something. I don't know. We can't just keep putting that on the TV now. We're just messing it up. And I'm like, well, you realize, asshats, that you have now four superhero shows based in your DC universe, one of which is a character that obviously has some small ties to Superman, which is the only movie that you've had out so far, and then another character who I think, according to the massive push of we're going to release all these titles on these dates, even though we have no real idea what any of them are yet, I think that one of them actually is the same character as the mm-hmm. film that you're planning to release, but
and that movie got bumped up.
It's going to be confusing then. So God forbid that the Flash might drop a little bit in ratings over the next year or two, because if it does, boom, That's going to go away. I'm sure it'll go away. Because, well, why should we keep putting the show out if we're going to have a Barry on the big screen, and maybe that will be big cash? They have not killed Kitana yet. She was in the last episode briefly for seemingly no reason, but they killed Amanda Waller, and Guggenheim says that wasn't from DC, but it was just so slapdash of like, hey, here's an episode with Amanda Waller. Oh, she just got shot in the face. Why? How? For this lame-ass storyline? This character who's been pretty integral to the history of Ollie before he showed up in town, and, you know, is a big part of the whole Argus thing, which is a big deal in this. You just randomly shoot her. Just randomly. Yeah. So I don't have a lot of faith in Warner, period.
Yeah. No, it's understandable. I'm gonna play my Stephen Moffat card on that. This is gonna be one of those things where, and I'm talking the earlier Moffat where it was really good, not the you're losing me here. The Matt Smith Moffat stuff, where
shut up! I like the Matt Smith Moffat.
I said that was good.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I just said I'm gonna play the Moffat card here.
Right. You said earlier when it was good, not the Matt Smith stuff.
No, the Matt Smith stuff. He started with Matt Smith.
Okay.
So saying earlier when it was good, then saying the Matt Smith stuff.
I mean, by the time we got to the whole Christmas thing, that was...
What's happened now with Capaldi, which is still good, but not as good as the Matt Smith stuff, in my opinion. Where they're laying down groundwork for a bigger plan. That's all I'm going to say. All right. So... let's switch things up and talk about the shows that we watched.
No, I'm just going to call bullshit because I have never seen DC lay down groundwork for a bigger plan. It's just...
I'm not talking DC.
Hey, by the way, last week... Well, I'm being Warner, too. But by the way, last week, we
had Warner.
A bigger plan. Here it is.
I'm talking Greg Berlanti, Mark Guggenheim, all the, you know, the producers of what's been making Warner Brothers and DC bank with the CW shows and the CBS show with Supergirl.
Well, I would argue, and I talked about this, probably I'm Bleeding Cool or something. How much is the bank of your average CW show or even your higher rated CW show? The ratings of that show compared to the ratings of a more major network, and how much is the budget comparatively versus the advertising? Like, I watch the CW shows, and I sit through a lot of the ads, and they don't seem to be big money advertising. Mm-hmm. Now, when we get to things like syndication and stuff, or certainly the Netflix deals, those help. But look at how often movies get replayed on FX and stuff. You probably get bigger ads from those, and they'll play the same damn movie 5 times in a week. So it's kind of up in the air. It really is going to depend on how successful they're going to be with this new Justice League film series.
Yeah, but this is also coming for DC, which has only had recently Man of Steel, and then the Nolan Batman stuff, but there's no new Nolan Batman stuff coming out from there. So, but anyways, changing courses, talking about shows now, and movies, because I saw a movie, and it's in the theaters. Let's hit that. Let's hit the movie, because we were talking about this a little bit in the pre-show, which if I get a good computer, I could probably record pre-show and do like a Patreon thing. Like, hey, if you support Galactic Netcast at this amount, we'll give you the pre-show and post-show.
We'll pre-show is exactly why you need to wear condoms, kid. That's not right.
But no. So, Hail Caesar is the latest from the Coen brothers. And this is going to be fairly spoiler-free. There might be a little bit of some spoilers in there. But the commercials give just enough away. They give the A-plot away, like most trailers do. And but I have to say, I love this movie. I went and saw it yesterday with my mom while you were recording Podcast of Terror there, Corey, so I didn't get to watch it because I was watching another movie.
Yeah, you don't watch the show.
Hey, bullcrap. I watched the Shaun of the Dead version or edition.
Yeah, I heard the talk, but you know, you watched an episode about a movie you've already seen. Seems rather cagey, is what I'm trying to point out. It seems like you can. Oh yeah, you talked about Shaun of the Dead. I guess that has zombies in it. I heard maybe that it might have some basis in British comedy stylings. No. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Bullshit. Okay. But anyways, so Hail Caesar, star-studded, packed thing. This is actually what I was trying to convey to Evan, is, what's the actor's name who was in Flash that was taken over by Grodd? He was the general. Is it Clancy Brown? Is that who I'm thinking of?
Clancy Brown, the Kurgan.
He's in here, right next, like acting right next to George Clooney, and I'm sitting there going, get the fuck out of the way, Clooney. That's Clancy Brown, and he sounds so awesome.
Move, Clooney, get out the way.
So the basic plot of the movie is as follows. You are following Capital Motion Pictures or whatever, this movie production studio, as they are seemingly just doing their day-to-day stuff. They're filming all these different movies. This is set in the 30s? The 30s or 40s. Like, right around there. And they're filming, and they have this massive lot of studios. And one of the movies that they're filming is this big blockbuster movie called Hail Caesar, in which it is about the time of Jesus, but told through a Roman's perspective, and not even like a big like Caesar, but just George Clooney's character's character, who is just like some Roman soldier, but while filming, his character gets kidnapped. George Clooney's character gets kidnapped, and so they're spinning this all around while trying to find out what's going on. And then you see all these other movies, like you see the Western movie that's being filmed by this one actor, who then gets put into a drama that's directed by Ray Fiennes, who's freaking like awesome in this movie. And then and there are all these other movies that they show, but they do it in a way that it ties into the story really well. Like, it's not just, oh, here's the dancing Navy soldiers just for dancing Navy soldiers' sake. And all that part, all the studio part, it's bigger name actors that you've seen and you recognize very easily. The kidnappers, which I'm not going to get into who they are exactly, because that would be really big spoilers. They are also bigger name actors, or not big name actors, but they're also recognizable actors, more character actors. And you're like, you're sitting going, I recognize that guy. Like, he plays Gigi and Gigi Does It and all the, and there's, I just had where I saw the one guy. And there's one guy who is on this other thing that you recognize, and it's like seeing Stephen Tobolowsky, except they're all Stephen Tobolowsky, sort of deal. And it's really cool, really enjoyable. It is a comedy, but it's not a comedy in the sense of, like you're going to be laughing all the time, because I went and saw it with my mom, and she said, and it's a direct quote, this seems like it was more of a your style comedy than a my style, meaning more nerdy. And it is, because it's not really nerdy. It's more Big Lebowski. Like if you really like the Big Lebowski, you'd probably like this. And yeah, it is really enjoyable. And I saw exactly what you're saying. But I compared it to Wes Anderson movies, because I've seen more Wes Anderson than I have the Coen brothers. like I compare it more. So I'm like, yeah, it's more like Moonrise Kingdom or Royal Tenenbaums.
Well, I know what a comedy that isn't funny is from the Coen brothers. It's called Burn After Reading.
It's. I think it's better than that because I was laughing. I was laughing and snickering the whole movie.
I keep seeing the commercials, and it looks both intriguing and potentially awful at the same time. Because they play the same commercial over and over again, and that's often a bad sign for a movie.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I can't say that there was any Coen Brothers movie that I saw the commercials for, and I thought a lot about it until I saw the film later on. Yeah. Going back to Fargo and Big Lebowski, I just, you know, I went, oh, what the hell is that? And had no clue until I, years later, wound up seeing them on cable or something and was like, oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah. But no, it's really good. I mean, I enjoyed the movie pretty well. And this is them going back to, like Beatmaster saying, this is them going back to an ensemble cast in their movies. And I mean, what better group of people, like, to have an ensemble cast? And it's like big name talent. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I knew nothing about this movie until I saw the Golden Globes, where they brought up Jonah Hill, touting him from Hail Caesar, and I'm like, wait, what? And then that commercial break, they played the TV spot, and I'm like, but Channing Tatum's there too. Why didn't you tout him as being in there? And all that.
But well, yeah, probably Tatum had a different movie out at the same time that.
I think he was nominated for something at the Globes, if I remember correctly, and so they gave him that movie credit, and I'm like, but still, I'm just sitting there going, okay, cool. Channing Tatum in there is really funny. I don't know, they're all really good. But yeah. So yeah, it's kind of enjoyable. Cool,
I mean, he's
yeah.
It's so easy to overlook him because he's Channing fucking Tatum and because he was in G.I. Joe and shit. But he keeps doing things that just show, one, what a great sense of humor he has. Matt Vincent said something when he was on Podcast of Terror with us, which was, you know,
to eat a dick.
He's in on the joke. You know, he wasn't talking about Channing Tatum in particular, but there are people who are in on the joke. They can handle the fact of, you know, some things are just, it's funny, or I understand that maybe people are having a little bit of fun at my expense, but it's okay. You know, I'm comfortable enough with who I am. It doesn't matter. And Channing Tatum is that guy. He's got a great life. You know, he knows he's really good looking. He knows that even when he's done things that were outside of what people expected from him, he's had really good success. He can do comedy. He can do some more serious stuff. He made his own film with Magic Mike, and it was a huge success for him.
I think, didn't he direct the sequel?
I believe so, and I don't know that it was received as well, but it's a sequel. That's always tough anyways.
Yeah.
I just think that... Yeah,
and plus, he's following up soon.
The lip sync battle, and he was great on that too. They were both great, actually. I didn't even know a lot about his wife, but they were so much fun on that. So I think the guy has earned his place to be, you know, that, you know, Channing Tatum, but at the same time, he doesn't have an air about him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's maybe when people give him shit, it's like, maybe we don't have to give him so much shit. You know, he's earned better from us.
No, yeah. But yeah, so I highly recommend it. I mean, I highly recommend it if you like the Coen Brother movies, which you've probably already seen it by then. But at the very least, it's well worth the rental on Google Play or iTunes or catching it on Netflix. It is I would probably yell at you if you didn't watch it, at least when it came out on Netflix. Sort of deal. That's how, like, it's not a rush out to see it in the movies for me, but I did because for me it was, because it looked like the commercial sold me. But to recommend it to other people, I wouldn't necessarily say you have to run out and see it in the theaters. If you want to, by all means, go. But at the same time, if it comes out and it's on Netflix, or, you know, Hulu or Amazon Prime or whatever, that is when you have to watch it. Sort of deal. The next one is one that you saw with, which was, it was just a two-part thing, right? The People versus O.J. Simpson?
Well, it's just had the second episode tonight, actually. It's okay. A series. It's kind of like Fargo. It's from the, I'm pretty sure it's from the same people, essentially. It's,
mm-hmm.
But it's The People versus O.J. Simpson, and it's subtitled American Crime Story, just like American Horror Story. So it's not Fargo people, it's American Horror Story people. But it's got John Travolta. It's a huge, very amazing cast playing people that we all kind of recognize. It was the weirdest moment to me when I realized that David Schwimmer was playing the father of the Kardashian girls, the ex-husband of Kris Jenner. So Selma Blair is playing Kris Jenner in this, and David Schwimmer is playing her ex, and there are moments where you Robert see Kardashian. The little Kardashian girls running around and stuff. I had no idea about their connection to this, and I kind of wonder if that's what gave them this starvation to be in the limelight.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole other conversation. The first episode was just so incredible because we know the story, or we think we know the story. We remember a lot of the headlines, we remember some of the stuff. We remember the white Bronco going down the freeway on the news and the results of everything that as it happened. But seeing it kind of acted out, and obviously it's fictionalized. Obviously it's not going to be 100% true to form, but it's really crazy good. I've been watching the previews for it, and I've just been like, all right, well, we'll see. We watched that first episode, and we were just completely hooked. It's so good.
Yeah.
And tonight's episode that should be recording in a little bit for us and may already be on where you're at, I believe, is the episode with him. The first episode ended with him getting the Bronco with the gun and his friend driving him. So this is going to be that. That's what this whole episode, I believe, is supposed to be. I have been like hit or miss on things like American Horror Story and the other stuff that those people have done, but this is something else.
Mm-hmm.
And the person playing Cato Kalin, I don't even know who it is, but he just such a masterful job.
Could it not be Cato Kalin?
He's such a moron that I really thought it was. I'm like, he got some excellent plastic surgery because he looked great for looking like Cato Kalin. But he's so dumb.
But yeah, so before we go to the next shows, I want to mention, this is technically an ad, even though we're getting no money for it, but this is another recommendation. JF Dubow, who is friends of ours, friends of Galactic Netcast, He's now a published author. I don't know if he was a published author before exactly, but he's now a published again author because he has his book that he won the Geek and Sun or not Sword and Laser book club thing with The Life Engineered is out. You can go buy it. I will be getting mine a week from today, I believe, is when I will get mine. I get mine on the 16th, and I'm so excited for it. It's like, this is really cool, because I mean, I'm a fan of other authors, but I've not read, or I have not been like friends with them. This is a guy I'm friends with. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm holding one of his books, or I will be holding one of his books. I have the PDF now. You can go find it at Goodreads, on Amazon, Inkshares. I think you can still buy copies of the book. And check out his other book. Was it A God in the Tool Shed? Isn't the other book?
A God in the Shed is the other book. Has that been picked up yet? Or I know that was something that was the next contest, but I didn't know if it was out yet.
Yeah, that one was. I think the Nerdist contest was what that one was with. I'm not sure, but I mean,
it's not listed yet on Amazon or anything like that.
Yeah, but that one, just go on Inkshares, check out, and do a search for JF Dubow. That's don't know how to spell his last name.
Dubeau.
That's it. That's exactly. It's the French spelling because he's French Canadian and all that. But no. So check it out. It's really, I'm really excited for it. And
it is a non-cynical, as I understand it, a sort of non-cynical take on artificial intelligence and robots in the future, a non-desolate future where it's like, hey, maybe we do these things and it turns out okay, which is strange that that is such a different take on on the those kinds of storylines. Everything is, oh, they kill us. But in this case, he's like, no, maybe robots are kind of cool. But not in a Wall-E kind of way or a Johnny Five. Or maybe it is. I don't know. I haven't read it yet. But I've got my copies coming too, and I'm very excited about it. Exactly. So yeah, you can find it. There's a Kindle edition for $5.99, and then there's a paperback edition for $11.15 right now on Amazon. If you did not manage to get in on the support of it through Inkshares in the first place. But it's a good reason to check out Inkshares and see what the next upcoming authors they're going to be bringing to you.
For a while there, I was getting so many authors like friending me and stuff. I'm like, I did this for JF, man. Like, you're going to have to come up over on Sci-Fi Geeks Club before I say, hey, okay, I'm going to support your book and whatnot.
Just look at the projects, though. You don't have to support every Kickstarter, but sometimes a Kickstarter comes up. You knew it on another person from Adam, but it's like, oh, this is actually really neat. I am excited about this.
Corey, you're talking to the dude who reads like 30 to 40 comic books a week.
Yeah, maybe you should shut some of that shit down and read some actual literature. Suck it!
I have no response to that.
That's right. All right,
so my response is to stick in the comic book world in a way, loosely, and talk about Lucifer. Lucifer is the new, it's based on characters over at, by the, or from the Lucifer book over at Vertigo, and it's not Gotham.
It is definitely not Gotham.
I'm going to say it because I'm not 100% in love with the show. I am enjoying the show. It is very much like Grimm or Supernatural, where it's like, oh, hey, here, let's get... And it took what Beat said, and I'm actually going to read it out loud. He likes the characters and actors, which is cool, but if all we get is another show about a supernatural entity working with an officer to solve crimes, he's probably going to be out. I'm paraphrasing, trying to translate from what first wasn't making sense.
The thing is that yes, it's a tired trope. It's every show is a procedural these days. At the same time, when it's a good show, we forgive it. Because let's face facts. We all liked Almost Human. Almost Human was a procedural. It was a sci-fi procedural in the future that had a guy with a robot. You know, this is a female cop with the devil. And so can they make the stuff that goes on around the procedural interesting enough to keep pulling you in? The characters are great. The actors are really good. I think the actors improved from the first episode to the second episode. I haven't seen the third one yet. Yes, it feels a lot like Constantine. The fact that there is an angel wandering around who is the foil for Lucifer is just straight up out of Constantine. It's like, hey, we can only do one kind of Vertigo show. I'm sure we're going to have some of that shit in Preacher, too, because there were angels in Preacher. But you kind of have to say, is it fun? Is it a fun watch? Yeah. Right now, there are not a lot of Fox shows that I will give a second glance at because it's Fox. Because it's just kind of like they seem to not give a shit about the programming that they put out. It's just either the same things over again, or when you get something that's kind of okay and you're like, oh, I might be mildly excited. Canceled? All right. That was fast. Fuck you. Or Moon Fridays, which is the same goddamn thing. So I tried the first Lucifer. I made Erin, not made, but she was in the room, and she watched it with me.
Erin, you will watch it. You will like it.
No, not at all, because goddamn it, like she's not like she's putting down her phone or anything. She watched it, and she's like, I don't think I'm going to watch this show. But then when I put on the second episode a week later, she watched it. She laughs at points that are funny. She goes in and out of paying attention to not paying attention. She goes and takes her smoke break when I would think I would pause it if she gave a shit, but she doesn't. But she doesn't hate it. You know, and sometimes not hating a show is about as good as I can get from my wife.
And honestly, that's sort of where I'm at, except for I don't do the smoking part. But, I mean, it's... I put it on today when I got out of work, and I think I started playing Broken Age. And it was cool, you know, I have it on the background. Like, I had Broken Age muted, which is more... I think I did the wrong choices there, because Broken Age is just really cool sounding... Like, got a really cool soundtrack and all that stuff. But anyways, I'm not talking about Broken Age. And I just let it play in the background. And where I was paying attention a little bit. It was more like actually Beats got it perfectly. This is a game I would play, this is a show I would watch while playing Pocket Morty or reading comic books, sort of deal.
Yeah,
and that's perfectly fine. You know, because that just means that it's on that list for me of if I'm falling behind in other shows, Lucifer is gonna be dropped.
Well, yeah, and I completely agree with that. It's like a Castle to me. I like Castle. Mm-hmm. It got to a point on Castle where it got a little too stupid, but yeah. I still love the characters. I would watch it for the characters. It's just the storylines got really bad, and I didn't care. You know, Constantine was the same thing for me. It's like I like it, but I wasn't devastated when it went away. There are shows that I watch, like The Blacklist, or what was the other one that had the same goddamn title, essentially, but was the girl with the tattoos?
Blind Spot.
Yeah, Blacklist went to the point where it was painful to watch. Even though James Spader was great, the show was just so mind-numbingly stupid in the way that it acted with the other characters that it became a chore. Blind Spot became a chore just because I didn't care. You know, I wanted to. I love Jamie Alexander. I was somewhat interested in her character's storyline, but the rest of it was just such a slog around it that it was like, eh, this is... I actively wanted to take it off the DVR. This isn't something that I care about if I miss an episode or if it gets canceled, it gets canceled. But it's perfectly okay TV. It's a bones. It's a lot of procedural stuff. You know, there's not something about it that's making me, like, jump onto it the first thing every week when it pops up. But there's also nothing actively making me say, this is stupid and needs to go away.
Yeah.
That is a lot of TV. It is getting to be less of that. Or at least I'm finding things that I absolutely love. Now, sometimes I'm finding them and they still go away anyways. I really liked Almost Human. It surprised me how much I liked it. But then there are shows like Fargo or like Justified when it was on, or some of the Netflix shows like Sense8 that have been shows that I am just totally, completely blown away by. Or even a show like Scream Queens, which was not brilliant TV, but it was so fun, and I think it was elevated by the fact that my wife really loves the show, but I had such a blast watching it. Or Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, another show that surprises me how much I love that show, even when it's so against types of shows that I would normally think that I would like. That's what I think is important, is that it's hard sometimes to find those shows, or those shows quickly go away because they're so specified to a certain type of viewer, that a lot of what's left is going to be the safe program. You know, and it's funny to say that a show that is getting bombarded with hate by a falsified name group like A Million Moms and trying to get people to boycott Olive Garden or Kay Jewelers because it's talking about the devil. Yeah. So what? So are you. You know what? I probably wouldn't even know about the devil wasn't for you, dumb bitches. So just enjoy it.
So you watched Full Frontal with Samantha
Bee. Did I? Oh, I did.
Did you not know you watched it?
I guess I did. Yes, I watched it actually right before this. Because it was just on last night, and then I don't think it's on for a while. I thought it was going to be a nightly thing. I thought it was going to be the new 10:30 mm-hmm. time slot for TBS right before Conan. That's the way they sure made it sound in the commercials. And then next week is apparently a holiday, which I almost didn't realize and would have shown up at work. So it's not on then either. So I'm waiting for it to come back. Yeah, next week is President Mattress Day.
Oh, yeah.
So right. I watched Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
Which president was President Mattress?
It's got to be, I'm going to guess, Eisenhower?
No, wrong. It's Taft.
Well, no, Taft is what you pull off of the mattress, and then it's legally yours.
I would say, because isn't Taft the big fat one?
Well, Taft, he is big and fat, but, you know, you also... You make your spouse sleep in the Taft spot. So I watch Full Frontal because I have not really been into The Daily Show with Trevor Noah or The Nightly Show with Larry. I tried so hard on both. I tried a little bit less on Daily Show because I'd already been kind of burnt out. And it's not that either of them aren't talented or funny guys or anything. There's just something that isn't quite clicking. And I know it's a hard thing to live up to the legacies of Colbert and Stewart. And Colbert, I like his show to a certain degree, but my problem with his show is that so much of it is focused on the things that were my least favorite part of his show before, which is the celebrity aspect. I like Colbert when he talks to the audience, when he does his bits and stuff. I don't really give a shit about the interviews most of the times. And that show is an interview show. It's a lot of it. And the whole dancing with the bandleader guy who I kind of think is creepy. But with Samantha Bee. He goes out there at the beginning and he does the high kicks and the guy comes out there with a little that guy creeps me out a little bit. I don't know what it is about him that totally like Candyman shit is. I hear and I see things of like Colbert is bringing some stuff back in the political sense, because what a great time, so why wouldn't you? But I haven't caught it yet, so I watched Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, and I really like Samantha Bee, and I like Jason Jones, her husband, and everything. I wouldn't say that she was my favorite on The Daily Show, like even towards the end. I think she was high up there. She was definitely talented, but this show to me is the most like what I want from The Daily Show, other than John Oliver. And John Oliver is a different animal in itself. But this show really felt like, oh my God, this is like The Daily Show, only better and emphasizing the parts that I like. Because, again, no interviews.
Yeah.
The show was all her doing her shtick to the camera, talking shit about the candidates, doing the stuff that John used to do where they show the clips and like rip up the people in the clips. And then there was a segment at the end that wasn't even really her. It was like a voiceover guy who was going and talking about Jeb Bush. It was really good. It was good the whole way through. It was great the whole way through, actually. And I've missed that because I haven't had that kind of fulfilling interaction with one of these shows in a while. When I have watched The Daily Show since, it depends on who's up there. If it's Jessica Williams is phenomenal. Like, I know for a fact if Jessica Williams had taken over The Daily Show, if she had chosen to do that, I would almost definitely be watching The Daily Show still. Because I think she's just, even making it her own, I just think she's so amazing and so honestly funny compared to, like, Trevor Noah just isn't quite clicking for me. It's not that he's not funny. It's just that he's not funny in a way that works 100% for me.
Yeah.
And Larry Wilmore, I think he's funny, but I don't think his show is. But yeah. I like the conversations. On his, I like the panel stuff. So they all have something that stands apart. But that first episode, I don't know if they just blew their wad on that one and that's why they need to take a couple weeks off. But it was really good. Yeah. If you haven't had a chance to see it, it's replaying later in the week.
Yeah, I think part of it might have been timing, or might have been that the first episode was a pilot, and then they're going to do something more consistent with like more up to date stuff. But all I got to say is, Join or Die starts February 18th on History Channel. I am so excited about that one. That's
Which one
the
is
new
that?
Craig Ferguson.
Oh, see, that would be fun.
Yeah, Craig Ferguson at 11 p.m. On Thursdays, 11 p.m. weekly talk show thing, but not about whatever the fuck the celebrity wants to talk about, but about like or whatever the celebrities are to plug, but about more history stuff. And I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool. This looks, because they played this that whole where they used to play trivia in the movie theaters before you came in, when you got there before the trailer started and all that stuff. They now do the like the screen gems or whatever thing where they're playing little behind the scenes on some of your favorite TV shows or some of your movies, or you know, play the same Shawn Mendes clip 5,000 times. Sorry, that was and they showed this thing on Hail Caesar, or on Hail Caesar, on Join or Die, and I'm like, I'd be like, Mom, I'm watching that, but I'm essentially I will be watching that. Especially now that my movie binge would probably be done by then. I don't know. Evan, tell me in chat, is there any more movies coming up after Daredevil and Zoolander 2 that I need to go out and see? Or not Daredevil, Deadpool? Because that's this weekend, is those two movies. But anyways, because that's something that the listeners aren't going to hear. The last show I want to talk about is Recovery Road. This is the new show on Freeform that will be happening, or sorry, I lost track. This is the new show on Freeform. It used to be ABC Family, about this girl who is, I want to say, like a junior or senior in high school, and is a full on addicted to drugs and alcohol. Gets clean and sober, like through like a 24-hour rehab thing, and then enters a sober living house. The cast in here is actually pretty cool. The main girl, if you are like me and you watch a lot of British TV shows, she was on the TV show Skins. She was a part of the third generation of there. And this, you have I can't think what her name is. It's like Paula Jai White or something like that. Hold on. But the girl who was in Martin or something like that. Hold on. I will cut this out in the audio version.
Paula Jai Parker.
That's it. Yeah. She's in there and she's really cool. The accent at first, because she plays a Jamaican woman, you're like, wait a minute, what's going on? And then you get over it, because you're like, okay, whatever, she's doing an accent. You know, it's the girl's Jamaican. It's really cool, really entertaining to see, because it is another drama, it is another ABC Family drama, but there's a lot of stuff that you hit in here that is being hit in here with drugs and alcohol, you know, and recovering addicts that you see that makes it feel real. And you know, this is coming from a guy whose step grandpa was an alcoholic and all that stuff, and it's like I gravitated to this and I related to it really easily. Like I'm sitting here, I'm going, oh wow, this looks really real and just really heart-wrenching too when you see these things happening. Like the third episode this past week featured the main character's possible love interest, his old fling, and she's right back in a meth den, and stuff, and it's just like, oh, dude, you don't want to see it happen, but yet here it happens. But no, it's I really, and I guess it's based on a book. Yeah, it's based on a book by Blake Nelson. But yeah, so it's a cool little thing. If you like the dramas and stuff like that, go check it out. Anything else you want to mention?
No.
All right. I think we might actually get out of here at an hour. So you could check us out by going to our webpage, our own little slice of the web, at elsnerds.com. You can send us mail@elsnerds.com, and you can join our Facebook group at facebook.elsnerds.com, and you can find full episodes of our Twitter, or full episodes of our shows on watch.elsnerds.com, and you can follow us at Elsnerds Show, I believe is the Twitter. Or at Elsnerds. At Elsnerds, yeah, on Twitter. And also, we have our friends, our soon-to-be brothers and... Well, they are brothers and sisters in a way, but our soon-to-be...
And they pump cohorts. Up the volume. Dance. Yeah. Dance.
Our soon-to-be cohorts over at the Galactic Netcast, and they have a Patreon. This is really cool. The Patreon is really cool because of the fact that it's not... They're not doing it. Dave's not doing it to make money. He's doing it to keep the ship afloat, because we are a bunch of people who love to do this, who love to get in front of a microphone and talk, but yet we don't, it's like, hey, if we got paid, cool, great, but this is a passion for us. You know, we like to get around here and sit and talk, but the stuff costs money. They're going to be switching from archive.org, which is a free platform, over to SoundCloud, which costs the monies. And so they need a little help. The theme that they use and some of the plugins that they use over on WordPress costs some money. So, hey, they need some money for that. They need some money to do these things. And there are goals on there as well. Like, they're really close to an advertising goal, which means more people will be able to listen to the shows and find us and through it, which is cool. You can support them at patreon.com/galacticnetcasts, I believe is it, or is it GNcasts?
Galactic Netcasts.
All right, that's patreon.com/galacticnetcasts. And also go to GNcast.com and check out all the shows, like Podcast Terror with Corey and Matt, Alien Invasion, Weird World Weekly, Sci-Fi Geeks Club, which, hey, I was just on this past week. So many great, great shows. It's worth the watch. You know, basically whatever you're into is worth watching. Oh, and also I will mention, by the way, for the $3 level on over at Patreon, what you get from us once we join is the splash page. The splash page is coming back in that regard, in that it is, and it's only once a month. So, hey, I get some time to do that, but I'm going to make it really, really good. In that, hey, and we'll figure out something with the extra video once we get over there, or the extra podcast once we get over there, but that's once we get over there. All that's left to be said is we record Elsnerds usually every Monday, unless something has to go up or go on, like Podcast of Terror.
We record Elsnerds when we wanna.
But we record Elsnerds every Monday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Western, 2:30 a.m. Sorry, the UK time. So you could figure it out on the other ends. And the only thing that's left to say is this has been a Don't Tell Glenn production. We will see you guys next time.
Take care, everybody.